Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to the Balance / Gary Snyder Show. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. So glad that you could join us here on a Friday. Happy TGIF to you. We're going to be joining the Gary Snyder Show live in just momentarily here. And I tell you what, we've got a great band coming up that we're going to be talking to. The band is called Abandon. And, of course, we got Friday football right here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us. Happy TGIF to you across the nation, coast to coast. We're going to be simulcasting with 1400 WBHE and Marriott on the Gary Snyder Show here in just a few short minutes when they finish up their news break. Well, it's been an exciting week, and I tell you what, one of the latest developments is now Kane has Secret Service protection. What are your thoughts? a very interesting conversation that we had in our last hour with Chris Hines of GOP 12. You know, kind of pulling out that race card. Kind of interesting to see how this whole thing's going to pan out. It's kind of like whack-a-mole. Somebody else pops their head up, they get knocked down. So everybody seems to be getting knocked down but Mitt Romney. So we'll see how this GOP presidential nomination and the Barack Obama drama unfolds. I tell you what, coming up here this next hour, obviously, it's Football Friday, and here at the latter part of the hour, we are going to be talking football. Colts lose. But that's just seems to be how things go on Friday around here. Write down these digits, 917-889-8516, and we'll get you on the air in the second half of this show. And then coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern, we're going to rebroadcast hour number two of the Gary Snyder Show, as heard on 1400 WBAT in Marion. Now, coming up right after the break here, and when we team up with 1400 WBAT in Marion, Indiana, is a great group of guys that, I tell you what, these guys are on a mission. And if you've never heard of the band Abandon, you need to check them out, abandonrock.com. And they're going to be joining us, and I tell you what, they've got a great ministry going on, and so we want to talk to them about what they're doing, where they've been, where they're going, and where they're at right now. Well, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back with Abandon.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalance.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6 Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
This is Michelle Caruso Cabrera from CNBC's Power Lunch, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get to our guests, real quick, when I was looking for carpet, I did what most of you did. I went and checked out all of the big home improvement box stores, and I found the same thing that you did. There's no service. Then a friend recommended Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington. Not only did Lehman Floor Covering have all the top brands of carpeting, Mohawk, Stainmaster, Baylor, and Shaw, they also had that special something that was missing from those big box stores. Great customer service, attention to detail, and that personal touch. So if you're looking for new carpet, hardwood floors, tile, laminate, vinyl, heck, they even specialize in new baths and kitchens, and carry H&K countertops made right here in Marion, Lehman Floor Covering will have what you need when you need it with the customer service you deserve. Lehman Floor Covering is your one-stop shop from ceiling to floor. And you know what? They would not have been in business for over 50 years if they weren't doing it exactly right. Give Todd a call, 260-356-7226 for a free estimate, or you can visit them on the web at laymanfloorcovering.com. Or just head on into their newly expanded store at 1940 Aetna Avenue in Huntington. All right. We are joined by the Balance Radio Network and Tom Marquis. Say hi.
Happy Friday, and welcome to the Balance Radio Network, coast to coast. Good to have you along, Jerry. I feel like Jerry. Are you one of Jerry's kids today? Gary. I don't know why I said Jerry. I have no idea where that came from.
I have no idea either, but why don't you introduce our next guest?
That'd probably be better. Let's just moving on along so we don't digress here. Well, welcome to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is Friday, and I tell you what, typically Friday is Football Friday, and but what we have with us is a great band out of San Antonio, Texas, and they actually did the Fox Sports Net anthem, Live It Out Now, by the band Abandon. And joining us right now is the band, and I believe we have Josh Engler on the air with us. Is this Josh?
This Josh. How you doing? Good to be
doing
here.
Good, man. Doing good, man. Well, it's good to have you on board. You know, we have just about everybody on the air, but a lot of times we don't get to talk to the music behind the music. And obviously you guys did a gig with Fox Sports, so tell us a little bit about that and how you guys came about that.
Well, yeah, and I also have a couple of my friends with me. Dave is the drummer, and Stevan is the guitar
player.
Hello.
Adios.
And we flew out to actually how it happened was our song got picked up by the Food Network, and one of the reps from the Fox Sports channel found it and heard it on the Food Network commercial and Shazammed it, actually tagged it, and found out who we were, called us up, said, hey, fly out to L.A., let's do a green screen music video. We're going to put all of our computer graphics behind you guys, and it's going to look real pro. And they've been running a commercial with our music video on it and our song Live It Out for all the college football Fox Sports Network promos and stuff this fall. It's been pretty awesome.
This is Gary Snyder. How cool was it when you guys got the call and they said, hey, we want to use your song on Fox Sports Net College Football?
This is Dave. What was crazy is I got an email from a licensing company saying, hey, I got someone from Fox Sports that's really interested in using this song. And I said, great, you know, let's start a conversation. So I talked to the guy, and he basically gave me the idea, you know, said, hey, we want to do a music video, not just the song, and we want to use it to promote college football games every weekend. And so when he told me about it, I was like, dude, this is awesome, because I love football. And, you know, we're from Texas. We're big into football in Texas. So that was really cool. We all felt that it was a unique opportunity, and we just wanted to capitalize on it.
Now, Josh, I've known you for a long time. I won't let any secrets out, but I've known you for a long time. And I know that music and God has always been a passion and a forefront of your life. How did you guys come together and form a band? And I know that you guys have really just kind of, I won't say went from being a nobody, but went from being a more of a regional band to really making the national scene. That's got to be pretty big for you, Josh. And the whole gear. Go ahead.
Yeah, we found some success here lately. A lot of things have been coming in, which are pretty awesome. My family moved down to Texas in 2000 after Y2K and all the computers didn't crash. We found our way to Texas and fell in love with San Antonio, and So we found a church down there and met the rest of the band at church. And really, we just started playing, music for the youth group. We were the worship band every week. And we liked playing music together and started writing our own songs. And that's how it grew into what it is now. I mean, slowly but surely, 7-8 years later. A lot of hard work, but here we are.
Let me ask you this. How did you guys go from playing, in a church to the success that you have today?
There was a band out of Oklahoma that just encouraged us to think bigger. You know, we'd been playing around San Antonio for a little bit, and they said, hey, try to take this national. We found a management company in Nashville, Tennessee, got connected with them, and it was just a step-by-step process. You know, we went and played a showcase with a guy named Kevin Max from DC Talk in Nashville, and that's where we got discovered. The A&R agent from our record label was eating Mexican food across the street with his wife, and he heard our song and while we were playing it over in the club next door at the Rutledge in Nashville, and came over and checked out our stuff. He saw like the last half of our set, and it was enough for him to go find us on MySpace and call us up, and we did a showcase for the record label, and they called us in and said, hey, we'd like to partner with you guys. And so we got signed. Long story short, now we're going to LA and making music videos, and it's been fun.
Well, it is great to see your success, Josh, and the rest of the band there. I can't remember the rest of their names there, but I know that you have made Texas your second home, and you used to live here in Indiana, but you made Texas your second home. So would you call yourself a Texan or a Hoosier?
Well, it depends on what. Which circle I'm in.
which team's winning.
And which team is winning. I've been in Texas a long time. You know what? I fell in love with Texas, and I fell in love in Texas about the same time. Found my wife down there. I've been married 5 years now. And, Texas is a part of me. 11 years. You can't spend 11 years somewhere without it becoming a part of you. So, but you know what? Around this time, fall and Thanksgiving, you know, I really miss Grandma's house. And what Indiana feels like, you know, and the weather and everything, because Christmas Day sometimes in San Antonio, you can walk outside in shorts and a t-shirt, you know, it'll be 70 degrees outside on Christmas Day. So we don't get too many white winters down there or white Christmases, but, Indiana still holds a special place in my heart.
Gary?
Well, going forward, you guys have had the success that you've had so far. What's next for Abandon?
Well, we're going on tour. First thing is with the Newsboys next year. It's going to be called the God's Not Dead Tour. It'll be stretching out about 3-4 months. And we're going to be on a tour bus, and that's going to be great. We'll finally get out of the van. It'll be the first tour that we'll be able to do in a bus, so that'll be fun. And then after that, I mean, shoot, we've already been to Europe a couple times, and LA now, and we're releasing a remix record and adding that as part of our full-length album starting in January. We also have a new song going to radio. It's called New Year's Day. Everybody can check that out on their local stations. More tours and opportunities. We're working on our third record, and we're also doing a cover song called Walking on Sunshine. I don't know if you guys ever heard that track or not, but we're going to be doing our own version of it. That'd be fun.
Well, I tell you what, I'm really excited to hear your work and really excited to see you guys grow. Let me ask you this. One song that would encompass and really describe who you guys are, what would that be?
Oh, man, the song you just played, I think it really pulls a lot of influences from our first record. And who we were as an independent band to who we're kind of morphing into and evolving into as more of a pop alternative rock band today. And so I think it really just encompasses all the sounds that we've tried to experiment with over the years. The song's called Live It Out. So and that's the one that's been playing on Fox Sports and the Food Network. And it was featured on the Biggest Loser show a couple weeks ago. They played it for a moment of the show that was real cool toward the ending of it, real inspirational moment. And so that was neat to get to watch that on The Biggest Loser.
Well, here's my question for you, because it's odd, not odd, but funny that you brought up that your song New Year's Day, because when my wife was hearing you for the first time last night, she thought you guys kind of had that U2 feel to your music, and obviously New Year's Day was a big hit for U2 way back in the day.
Well, we're hoping it'll do the same thing for us. You know, it's a different song. But we definitely are influenced by U2, and they've been an inspiration to us musically throughout the years, and love watching U2's live videos and stuff. Especially that, man, the 360 tour they just did was incredible. So, good band.
Now, Josh, I know you guys play in a lot of festivals, and you play around the nation in venues from all different sizes. And you guys are growing more and more. But what is your favorite place to play, and what's your favorite kind of venue to play at?
Oh, man, you know, the sound is interesting for us sometimes. The smaller venues tend to have better sound. You know, it's just like a club venue will have nice sound. But also we've been able to work with some larger production companies that bring out some pretty cool equipment. And so we've done, you know, the festivals are a lot of fun. I think the most fun concert we've ever done was over in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and it was called Flavo Fest. It was just a great time. A lot of people, let's see, there were about 10,000 people there at that festival, so that was pretty cool to rock out. We were pretty close to the headlining spot that night, so that was cool. But you know what? We've been traveling for the last couple of years doing this program called the Emerge Experience. And we get to play in public high schools, and there's a speaker we travel with, and he just gives a motivational speech to the kids, and we play our music, and seeing a lot of kids inspired and their lives changed through that program, and that's something that we really value as a band, and are grateful to have been doing that for the last 6 years. So.
Now, Josh, I know you guys have a lot of songs. A lot of them are becoming more and more popular. And I think now this is your second album, right? Your first album.
That's
with
right.
Compass. Yeah. And this is your second album. Are you finding now that people know your songs when you sing them? Do they know your lyrics? If so, which song do you think that they know the most of, and or that the lyrics that they might quote?
You know, that's a cool experience whenever you play a concert and the first time you get to hear the fans singing back to you, there's nothing like it. That's when you know, hey, we're starting to make an impact, you know, when the crowd's singing the songs. The biggest song for us up to date has been a song called Hero, and it's a very basic song. It's probably the most mellowed out song we've ever written, but it struck a chord with a lot of our fans. The radio stations have picked it up, and it's definitely reaching the largest audience for us. So when we play our song Hero, we get to hear a lot of people singing that back to us. The second largest song for us has been a song called Feel It In Your Heart, just on the radio stations. It's a fun dance tune, and so people really get into it, and they're all putting their hands up, you know, with a heart symbol, and it's cool. Teenagers like it a lot. So,
well, hey guys, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Real quick, website, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff.
All of that stuff. AbandonRock.com is a website. Abandon Music Twitter. You can subscribe to our YouTube page, Abandon Music on YouTube. And yeah, if you write in on Facebook, we personally respond on Facebook. So that's one of the things that I think we still do that some other bands don't. So that's kind of a cool thing. Yeah, please be our friend. We need more friends.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, thanks so much for having us on tonight. We really appreciate it.
Hey Josh.
You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Josh, don't run away. we had to let Gary Snyder go on 1400 WBAT. What I want to do for you guys, though, Josh, on our national stream here, I want to go ahead and play, if it's cool with you guys. I know we didn't get the official written permission, but if it's cool with you, we'd like to go ahead and play Live It Out and just go ahead and go on into our last break, if that's cool with you guys.
Yeah, go for it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, guys, this is Abandoned. Live It Out, and it's been great having you guys. And when we get back, it's Football Friday. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a great night. Thank you.
Abandonrock.com and follow them on Twitter and Facebook. We'll be right back with Football Friday.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots
taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
The Balance Radio Network, streaming coast to coast. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It's Friday, and it is good to have you along. It is Football Friday, and we've got a lot to talk about. That's right, Colts lose, Colts lose, Colts lose, but it is a bye week. So maybe Colts win, Colts win. Hey, you know what? We're going to open line Friday for the next 30 minutes here. If you want to talk about the Colts or whatever's on your mind, give us a call. And how about that band, Abandoned? I tell you what, it's always great to see a fresh new scene, a fresh new band out there, and guys out there that are really, you know, doing the right thing. It's you know, a lot of times you see these bands and we talk to these bands, a lot of times you just know that. I hope my kid's not listening to that in their iPod, but you know, it's always good to see great young fellas like this that are out. Young fellas, I sound like my father. You know, I didn't want to embarrass Josh, but I have known Josh quite literally since he has been a little kid. And so it was a great opportunity to see him grow. And I know that music has always been a passion of his, and just what a great band. I mean, just what a super band. Then that's Abandoned. You can catch them out, check them out on abandonrock.com. Well, guys, it is Football Friday, and let's talk about some sports. Are you guys ready for some sports? and don't forget that tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., between 9 and 11, all sports, all the time, right here on the Balanced Gridiron. Obviously, we're going to break down what's going on with Notre Dame, IU, Purdue. Purdue was out in Puerto Rico yesterday. Hopefully, we can catch up with Evan Williams, and he can give us some insight on Purdue and their trip to Puerto Rico. Well, they were there today, and they were playing today. And so we've got a very exciting show planned for you. Show's coming up, so just make sure that you check back and follow us on Twitter. Now, here's how you do it, guys. Capital T, capital B, A-L-A-N-C-E. T-Balance, real easy. Follow us on Facebook. Just search The Balance, and you can download everything off of iTunes, all of our archive shows as well. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I do not know. You know, we just had Abandoned on, and they were talking about down in Texas. How those guys are really – they really like football down there. And you know, you like that? Texas. You know what? I grew up in southern Indiana. I do use words like y'all, youngins, and taters. But, you know, I don't want to say it, but the Texans are turning it on in the AFC South, and it's not the Colts. What is going on, guys?
I tell you what, Gary Brackett has come out with a new book called Winning, and it's pretty bad that that's the most newsworthy story of the Indianapolis Colts. But I tell you what, you know, in all seriousness, you know, we joke around, and I know they're struggling, and, you know, live and die a fan, whoever your team is, just be a fan. Don't be one of those guys out in New Orleans where they put the brown bags over their head. I tell you what, though, if anything, the Colts are 0-10, right? I mean, and I guess we are in the luck drawing, suck for luck. And well, I want to hear your thoughts on that. You know, we were talking about that a little bit earlier on in the year, and obviously we're coast to coast in all different types of time zones, so you might be still at the office or driving home from work or, you know, just sitting there listening to us on your computer on our national stream. Give us a call. I'd love to talk with you about the Indianapolis Colts. And you know, we can talk any team, but the Indianapolis Colts, they're 0-10, and for the last nine seasons, the Colts have made the playoffs under the leadership of their future Hall of Fame quarterback, Peyton Manning, number 18. They won the Super Bowl in 2007 and lost the one in 2010. This team has been a real contender in the league, from the coaching crew to the players. And people have considered the Indianapolis Colts a solid and balanced ball club, and yet they've lost 10 games and won 9 this season in the National Football League. I guess that there could be a lot of things that could be pointed to that. You know, this season something's happened. Their four-time MVP quarterback had neck surgery and has not played in the regular season. As it turns out, without him, it just crumbled. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that broadcaster that says, well, it's all because of Peyton Manning. I don't think so. I think that there's so much more going on there that's just one of the issues. I don't know. What are your thoughts? 917-889-8516. I don't know. Are the Colts a team that's built around one person? And is the team collapsing because that man is not working? I don't know. You know, speaking of bags over their heads in New Orleans, you know, they suffered a 62-7 defeat in the hands of the Saints this past October. And what's happening to the Colts happened to the Chicago Bulls. Remember when Michael Jordan left the franchise? The New England Patriots had a similar experience in 2008 when Tom Brady was injured in the season opener and the NFL team of the decade missed the playoffs. And all of these teams suffered because they relied too heavily on one lone star, Texas. Texas connection there. Did you see how I did that? Did you see how I just worked that in? We got the Texas theme going on. We had a bandit on earlier. We're talking about some, and I didn't even mean to do that. Stand back and wait until I'm trying. When I'm trying, you guys are, you got nothing. Oh, man. Lone Star. I love it. I didn't even do that on purpose. You know what, you guys, I have the best balance, the best crew, the balanced crew. I know you guys don't hear them. You don't want to see them either, for that matter. But these guys, man, they are the behind-the-scenes deal. And they could go on. They could go on without me. They'd go find another radio show to produce. They'd find another guy to make look good. I cannot perform without them. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say is, you know, this lone star, I'm going to say it again. Can I say it one more time, guys? This lone star model in teams, I don't know, it just doesn't apply to sports clubs. It happens in all companies. And most are structured in similar ways. And yet discovering and nurturing talent is vital for the success in any organization, no matter how good its strategy at the end of the day. Talent will be needed to execute it. Great companies need to spend money and resources and reward that talent. And, you know, the top of the food chain gets the most money.
I guess simply put, guys, plenty of corporations are using this model of identifying top performers and surrounding them with largely average colleagues. It is Friday, and I cannot talk. I need my Gatorade, my Powerade. Powerade, sorry, guys. Not Gatorade, Powerade. Can't see it here. You know, Powerade. Sponsors. Cool people, though. Give us free stuff. Hey, you know, I'll drink it. I'll talk about Powerade on the air. I'm drinking an orange one now. Sports drink and vitamins. B3, B6, and B12. Whatever that means. 917-889-8516. Did you guys happen to catch that interview with the astronaut that we had earlier this week, Ron Guerin? He was on the last space shuttle mission. That was cool. That was pretty cool. But they're dead. A man of great success is surrounded by people of even greater success. The Colts need to surround themselves with more than just Peyton Manning. Do we not draft Luck? Here's what I say. Let's draft Luck. Now what do we got? We got all kinds of bargaining chips. We can go to the table and say, look, let's make a deal. You know, and I would subscribe to the theory that one could win a Super Bowl or a national championship without a franchise quarterback. Who says we need one? I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts? 917-889-8516. We've got a few open lines here. And, you know, I just think that if you've got a team that surrounds – I think if you've got a great team, some great players – obviously we've got some Pro Bowl players, Dwight Freeney, Gary Brackett, Ballas Clark, Reggie Wayne. I mean, all these guys didn't forget how to play football as soon as Peyton Manning went down. I here's the thing. Well, you look at what happened with Apple here recently when Jobs passed away. God rest his soul. Did Apple just go out of business? Did they stop making and being on the forefront of technology, computers, iPads, iTouch, touchpads? Apple synonymous. I can't even say that word. I don't even know why I try. We're just dudes hanging out. We're not just dudes. Hey, we got some dudettes too. I know. Every time I say that we're just dudes, I get tweets. I get comments. Say, hey, what about us chicks? Hey, we like you too. I guess my point is Apple's continuing to move on. Indianapolis Colts have got to figure out a way to have life without Peyton Manning. Maybe he'll be back next year. I mean, I think all of us would like to see him back. I think the fans would. I mean, I'm a Colts fan. I'm not afraid of it. Lose or win, I'm still going to be a Colts fan. I mean, I cover the NFL. I mean, there's some great teams out there. You know, I talk about them. But who I'm going to sit at home and watch as a fan, the jersey I'm going to wear, the Colts, win or lose. And so the fans, or the team will go on. It cannot collapse without one quarterback, getting hurt. I just think that if a company cannot function, i.e., Indianapolis Colts, Chicago Bulls, back with Michael Jordan, whoever. I mean, maybe we're looking at Albert Pujols not going to be a part of the St. Louis Cardinals. Do they stop trying to win World Series? I mean, we've got a whole new change in upper management in the Dodgers and in the Cubs. They stopped playing baseball. That's what the Colts have done, I think. And I'm a fan. I'm saying that for, as a fan. They've given up. They've lost heart. Got to find it. Even if they don't win a game. You know, I subscribe to this theory. If you're going to get in a fight, you're going to get your tail beat, you're going to come home with a ripped shirt and a bloody nose and a black eye. Come home with a ripped shirt, a bloody nose, and a black eye. Don't come home where you ran from a fight. Get in there and fight. Fight for what's yours. You're the Colts. Peyton Manning is a Colt. The Colts are not Peyton Manning. If a company cannot function without its lone star, said it again. Lone Star. And that's all for you guys, Abandoned. You know, the whole Texas theme today has been in honor of Abandoned. AbandonRock.com. Great guys. I know, all right. No more Lone Star jokes. I'm lost without my Tonto today. You know, typically we are on the air, 1400 WBAT in Marion, until 6 o'clock. Gary's my Tonto. I wish he could be here. I wish he could be on with us. I think he's going to call, though. I think he's got some stuff going on. I'm not sure, but maybe he's going to call, maybe he's not. But at 6 o'clock, we're going to jump right into the hour number two. But basically, if a company cannot, a team or a company cannot function without its leader, I mean, I don't know. It could be time to break that power silo. What are your thoughts? Put in positions to fail or succeed. Somebody step up. Somebody step up. And get the job done. You know, we need a new leader on the team. Not that Peyton Manning isn't capable of being a leader. We just got to find another one. We just got to look at Penn State. A fall from power. A dynasty in college football. I mean, if you want to call them a dynasty, maybe that's a little extreme. But they certainly have. When you look at dynasties of coaching tenure. Joe Pinero, here today, gone tomorrow. You don't know. You don't know when you're going to lose your guy. You think you're going to stop playing football? You think they're going to close their doors? I mean, it's an unfortunate situation. It's a sad situation. It really is. But Penn State has got to move on. Penn State's got to pull itself out of the rubble. Penn State has got to find a way to move on, and that's what the Indianapolis Colts have to do. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? Want to know? Hey guys, we're going to be right back. It's Football Friday. We'll talk some IU. And you know what? We got a lot of stuff tomorrow on tomorrow's show going on. So I don't want to bust in everything that we got going on tomorrow. But we got IU, Notre Dame, we got Purdue. Obviously, Jimmy the intern was on at 3:30 Eastern time earlier today, and so we talked some IU football with him. And so he'll be on the gridiron tomorrow, fantasy football focused. Man. It's been a weird year, hasn't it? It has been one of those years. And you know what? I pride myself in knowing a lot about fantasy football. But gee whiz, nobody's playing this year. Nobody.
it's just a weird year. So, you know, hey, fantasy football focus tomorrow. We're going to start things up right away at 9 a.m. Eastern. So get your coffee, get your bagels, get ready to go. I'll be right back. This is the Balance Radio Network.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
To the Ballots / Gary Snyder Show. It would help me once in a while if I learn how to turn my mic back on after I turn it off when we go into a break. I thought we had Gary Snyder on. Perhaps we don't. Gary, if you want to call back, that would be great. I think we're going to have him back on here. We'll try to reach him here. We'll just call him back. Hopefully that was him. If not, we're going to call somebody. See if he answers. See if he answers live on the air. This is so cool. He didn't even know what we're doing. He's probably not going to answer. Tonto, answer the phone.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 260-4797.
Oh, well, I guess we're not going to get Tonto on the air. Oh, well. What do you do? What do you do on a Friday? Oh, man. I tell you what. What do you do? It's Friday. You know, here in just a few minutes, we're going to run into hour number two. One thing, there he is. We got him back. Is this Gary?
This is.
You know, I was just talking about, you know, I was just going on another little soapbox about the Colts losing and how they wrap around one one, the whole team around one lone star. And then I realized I made that Texas connection because of the band Abandoned, and I was talking about Texas. So it was just kind of the whole Texan theme. And I said, you know, I'm not going to go with the Lone Ranger. But, you know, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. And I you're my Tonto, Gary. I was totally lost here for the last half hour. So welcome to the show, Tonto.
You're welcome.
What a great band, what a great group of guys Abandoned it was. It's always nice to talk to young guys who aren't caught up in the scene, air quotes, with, you know, drugs, alcohol, sex, all of that stuff, who are just good, wholesome kids, you know, that are getting noticed and are good role models.
Well, yeah, you don't see that very often, especially in that kind of industry. And you can just the Disney Channel over the years and basically just wait for the next star on the Disney Channel to, you know, start taking her clothes off. And it's just happened time after time. It's nice to see a group of kids that don't fall prey to that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I missed the interview with Jimmy the intern. Obviously, the Colts are on a bye this week, so we don't have to worry about them losing.
We will not lose this weekend if you're a Colts fan.
That's right. You will not lose. So what else is coming up here next week with the Gary Snyder Show?
Next week, I fly by the seat of my pants. Nothing is ever planned.
Okay. I love that. I love that. Well, guys, what I wanted to do, Gary, and you called in right in the nick of the time, we had probably earlier this week, I think it was Wednesday or Tuesday, we had one of the best interviews we've ever had, Ron Guerin of the space shuttle, an astronaut on the last space shuttle mission. And what I wanted to do was replay that interview and then just go right into hour number two. But really, what a great interview it was. And what has little Gary been talking about it to all of his friends?
He has. He was really excited about it, went in and told his teacher the whole bit. So, yeah, he was pretty pumped about that. And the best part about it is he followed us on Twitter.
Right away, too.
Don't waste any time.
I tell you what, dude, we are cool. Because, you know what, two things. You know you've made it when you've got bobbleheads and you have an astronaut following you on Twitter.
You know, and I have some pretty big people that I have got to follow me on Twitter, but that had to be one of the biggest.
Well, guys, here on the Balance Radio Network, if you didn't hear the interview, here it was. Gary, are you going to be on the gridiron tomorrow?
I will. Notre Dame.
Okay.
AB.
All right, we'll talk Notre Dame tomorrow. We're going to go right in right now to the Ron Guerin interview, as heard here on the Balance / Gary Snyder Show. And then right after that, we're going to play hour number two of today's show, as heard on 1400 WBAT. Well, Gary, it's always good to team up with you in simulcast here on the Balance Radio Network across the United States. And thanks to our facilitator of Blog Talk Radio. My name's Tom Marquis, and I'll tell you what, as it's always good, and you know, here on the Balance Radio Network, we get to talk to a lot of people, but nobody, I was talking about this in the break, I don't think nobody matches who we've got as our next guest. I hope I don't butcher your name, sir, but Ronald Guerin, did I say that right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Ronald Guerin, astronaut, calling us from Lindsay Space, Johnson Space Center down in Houston, Texas. And I tell you what, it's an honor, sir, to have you on the air with myself and Gary Snyder Show across the United States on the Balance Radio Network. And, you know, I guess we'll just dive right into it. You were a part of one of the most historic space missions of all time. I mean, I think that's right up there with a trip to the moon and all the other great space missions that the United States has been a part of. You were a part of the very last space shuttle mission. That's got to be something special.
Yeah, it was. We realized that we were watching history unfold as we had that mission, and we know, it was bittersweet because, you know, we saw the end of a chapter in our history, but we also saw the opening of a new chapter, and so it was an exciting time.
Well, let me ask you this. This is Gary Snyder here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. You've had several missions, and to see the space shuttle come to an end like this, you know, what was it like? Was it a sad day for you to see the shuttle program come to an end?
Yeah, no, it was a sad day, but it was a day filled of hope too. Like I said, you know, we saw the end of that chapter in our space history, which, you know, had the era of the space shuttle. But the new chapter, you know, really a new era, I think, is going to see the continued exploration of our solar system beyond Earth orbit. This is, you know, going to be the start of us taking steps to go back to the moon, to go to asteroids, to go on to Mars, and to explore the rest of the solar system. So it was a necessary step to be able to accomplish those things that we want to do in the future.
Well, let's talk about that. What are some of the things that NASA has planned for the future as far as your work and as far as their work? Obviously, their work doesn't stop, so what are some of the things that are going on in the future here?
Well, the big thing is going to be to utilize the space station. And we spent 10 years building this incredible orbiting research facility, 10 years in orbit. It was many years before we launched the first piece, but actually 10 years in orbit. And, you know, when that last shuttle came and went, you know, that signaled, if you will, the end of the construction period and the beginning of the full utilization. And the utilization of the space station means scientific research. And, you know, even though we were constructing the space station over the last 10 years, during that 10-year period, we conducted over 600 experiments. And these are experiments that not only will help us to go further in the exploration of space, they have a direct benefit to Earth. Things like creating new materials, new medicines, understanding the human body better, understanding how to deal with illnesses better, how to create clean energy, clean water, how to clean methods to get rid of hazardous waste. The list goes on and on of all the things that we're working on the space station that will have a direct benefit to Earth.
Well, Ron, when I told my son we were going to have an astronaut on, he just literally came out of his skin. He's 7 years old. And he's on the line right now, and he'd like to ask you a question or two, if you don't mind. Gary, are you there? Gary, are you there? Maybe we don't have him yet. Well, let me ask you this. Going forward, and I'm sure you're asked this question all the time, and maybe if Gary gets on the line here, he can ask you, jump in and say something. But, you know, how cool was it to be an astronaut?
You know, Gary, I can hear your son on the line if he can hear me.
Gary, you want to say something to him?
How long have you been an astronaut?
Well, I've been an astronaut for a little over 10 years, and in that time I've had three missions, two of them to space and one actually to the bottom of the ocean. So I get to spend 18 days and 18 nights on the bottom of the ocean doing scientific research. And I flew on the Space Shuttle Discovery in 2008. And then I flew on a Russian rocket, actually, in 2011, where I spent 5.5 months on board the International Space Station.
Gary, you got one more question for him before we let you go, buddy?
Yes. Have you been drinking Tang?
Have I been drinking Tang? Is that the question?
Yeah, that was his question.
Well, yeah, we drink a lot of stuff that's like that. You know, the drinks that we have there, actually, we drink out of a bag. And in the bag is, you know, powdered, you know, tea or coffee or you know, sweet stuff that is like orange drink, et cetera. And we basically fill the bag up with water, mix it up, and stick a straw on it, and drink it. So that's how we drink things in space, because if you can't put it in the glass, because all the liquid would float out all over the place.
All right, Gary, tell him goodbye and thank you.
Bye.
Hey, Gary, it was great talking to you.
Thanks.
Hey, buddy.
Well, let me ask you this, Ron, and again, thanks for taking a few minutes there and speaking with my son. I'm sure he'll remember this most of his life. But I go back to my other question. How cool is it to be an astronaut?
Oh, it's a, I mean, obviously it's an amazing job. You know, it was incredible to live and work on a space station. And when I went there in 2008, I was kind of a visitor. But in 2011, you know, I really, that became my home. I had the opportunity to do four different spacewalks over my missions, and that's always incredible to be out there in the vacuum of space. It's just absolutely amazing to look down the Earth. It's hard to describe the things that you can see. You know, you could look down and see that line that separates daytime from night slowly march across the Earth, and you know, you always think about the stark difference in human activity on either side of that line. You know, as the sun sets, you see these long shadows cast across the horizon from thunderstorms, and then when the sun sets, you sit there and watch, or float there and watch as the Earth comes alive with the city, you know, the lights of the cities and the towns, and there's auroras, you know, lightning storms at night is just spectacular. It's like paparazzi with all the different, you know, the flashes going off. I've seen and photographed actually meteors passing through the atmosphere below us, so it's just, you know, the sights are just incredible, and the freedom that you have up there, if you want to go from one place to the other, you just push off with a finger and you're flying, you know, flying to the other part of the system, which makes our commute to work a lot of fun every day. And so it's just it's a really amazing place to live and work.
Now, Ron, again, we're talking to Ron Guerin from NASA, astronaut on the last space shuttle mission. And we were talking a little bit before little Gary called and about what's going on in the future. And you know, what are, I know Mars is a big focus point. Is Mars the next moon for the United States?
Well, I don't think we've fully decided, you know, what that next target will be. What we have decided, the direction that we're going in is, you know, we want to be able to turn over operations in low Earth orbit to commercial enterprises. The big government space agencies, you know, what we are best designed to do is to push that envelope to see what's over the next hill, to go, you know, further than we've gone before. And in order to do that, you know, things in low Earth orbit have to become routine. So I'm hoping that, you know, in a not very long from now, that, you know, flying in space in Earth orbit is like flying on an airplane, where, you know, we've got, you know, a lot of commercial activities going on, a lot of opportunity for other people to do it as well. And, you know, NASA and the European Space Agency and the Japanese Space Agency and the Russian Space Agency, you know, all these other entities are better suited to, you know, push further and further and to go on. So there's a lot of reasons, and my personal belief is there's a lot of reasons to go back to the moon. There's enough energy on the moon to power the planet for centuries. There's a lot of scientific reasons for going back to the moon, commercial reasons, the same thing for asteroids, and, you know, obviously we want to see if there's life elsewhere in the solar system, and Mars would be a good place to stop and look for that.
Now, tell us a little bit about life on the space station. You know, we kind of think about, when we think about the space station, we kind of think about the Starship Enterprise, and that sort of thing comes to mind, obviously, through science fiction here that's brought to life in the movies. Is it anything like that at all? What's life like on the space station?
Well, it's definitely a different existence than living on the Earth. The space station is enormous. It's bigger than a football field. And so you've got this enormous orbiting facility that travels around the Earth once every 90 minutes. So it's traveling, this whole big, giant, million-pound structure, you know, over a million-pound structure, is traveling at 5 miles a second. And so it's just, you know, amazing to be, you know, looking down at the Earth and seeing all those things I described, to be working in zero gravity, but also to, you know, I think a bigger part of how, you know, that what makes it rewarding is the fact that we're working with this giant team from people all around the world, control centers all around the world, and we're doing that for the benefit of humanity, for, you know, the science that we're doing. And it's just really neat to, you know, go, you know, commute to work by flying. You get to your experiment that you're working on, and you might be talking to Japan, or you might be talking to Russia, or somebody in Germany, and you're you know, all in this together, all working for the common goal of making life better on Earth and increasing our ability to explore the solar system.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you grow up wanting to be an astronaut? And if so, or if not, how did you, I guess, become an astronaut?
Well, I didn't want to become an astronaut my entire life. It was only since I was about six. So that was maybe six and a half when I watched the first moon landing. And that was something that I wanted my entire life. I think I kind of lost sight of that goal, though, when I was in high school, because it was after Skylab. It was before the shuttle. And, you know, from some kid from New York, we didn't have a space program. And it wasn't until I was a sophomore in college when I saw the first space shuttle land that I realized, wow, we do have a program. And the very next day, I went to my advisor and I started enrolling in math and science courses, which I think is a pretty good testament of the ability of the space program to motivate kids to study math and science. So, and then it was, basically worked the rest of my adult life for that goal of becoming an astronaut, and I was selected in the year 2000.
Now, Ron, let's talk about some of the more heavier concerns, obviously, that NASA has. It's awesome to go to space. Obviously, every kid around thinks about going to space, and you are a part of that. But you also know the dark side of that, and that's how we're going to pay for it. United States, how are they going to fund, especially in today's economy and the things that are going on? What are some of the things that are on the table to keep funding alive for NASA?
Well, I think the first thing to realize, well, there's a couple things to realize. One is that NASA is a very, very small part of our budget. It's less than 1%. And the other thing is, we don't spend any money in space. All the money that gets spent in the space program gets spent on Earth, and most of that is to create, high-tech, high-skill type jobs and to keep our technical edge alive. And I think the biggest thing to think about, though, is that we're not just throwing money down the hole. This is an incredible investment in our future, and from many different aspects. Our future, because of the effect it has on education, the increased technical capability of our nation through what comes through the space program. Obviously, the experiments that we're doing and the research we're doing will make life better not only for America but for the whole world with improved medicines, materials, and energy, and et cetera. So, I think it's an investment that we can't afford not to make. I think it's critically important for the future of our planet and the future of our country that we continue exploring, we continue pushing the envelope. There's experiments that is conducted on board the International Space Station that we can't conduct anywhere on Earth. There's not a laboratory on Earth that can simulate the environment that's on the space station. It's an absolutely critical link in us being able to progress as a species, really.
Well, Ron, let me ask you this before we have to let you go here. A lot of NASA, they are, contracting out a lot of the space shuttle, a lot of the space program now to private contractors as an astronaut. Does that raise any concern for you about safety or technology or anything like that?
No, I mean, NASA is not going to allow its astronauts to fly on a vehicle that hasn't been proven to be safe. What's important about this whole thing is what it enables us to do. By removing, the government part of going to low Earth orbit, that frees up the government to go beyond low Earth orbit, and that is the objective for basically turning over these operations to commercial activities.
Now, Ron, one other question that I might have. Well, how realistic is it? Obviously, we looked at, sorry, the name escapes me, the guy that owned Virgin Records who built a spaceship or wanted to build a spaceship. How realistic is it for the private enterprise and the private sector to build spacecrafts and actually take people like myself and Gary, if we can pay the tab, to go to outer space?
Well, there's a good reason why there's only three nations on Earth right now that can launch. Actually two now. Now that we retired the space shuttle, two nations on Earth that can launch have the capability today to launch humans into space. The reason for that is because it's really, really hard to do. And you need to separate. There are commercial activities that are trying to bring cargo and to bring people into orbit, which is an order of magnitude more difficult than to just fly a ballistic flight, touch the edge of space and then basically fall back down to Earth. And so some of these outfits,
like Richard Branson's program is going to do what's called a ballistic flight, where it just touches a space. They have a brief period of time of weightlessness. They'll get they'll get an incredible view at it coming down, but then they come back down really quickly. So that the energy that's required to do that is significantly less than it is to get to orbit. And it's a whole other problem to get to orbit and to stay in orbit. But there are commercial activities that are trying to do that. And I think we're on the verge. If we didn't think it was possible to do that, we wouldn't have basically counted on these commercial activities to bring our astronauts into space for the near term. So I think there's a very good chance that they'll be successful. We're kind of counting on them to be successful. And, we've got some really good companies out there and some really good technology that's coming to bear.
All right, last question for you, Ron, and this is probably the toughest. You spend a lot of time in space, and, we are notorious for waking you guys up on TV, up on the space shuttle. What song was your favorite when you were woken up on the space shuttle or the space station?
Wow, that is a tough question. On the space station, since I was up there for 164 days, they didn't ship up 164 wake up songs. So my alarm clock was my wake up when I was on a space when I was just on a space station mission. But on my shuttle mission, I had two wake up songs. One was All Because of You by U2, and the other one was Fly Away by Lenny Kravitz. So and both were selected by my family. So those are very special to me. And it's interesting when we're on the launch pad, though, what we do have on the launch pad in Kazakhstan in the Russian rocket, they right before launch, they pipe in some music. And there were some great songs there, too, including One by U2. I thought that was really neat to be strapped to the rocket on the launch pad listening to that song. It was a great song.
Well, we're finishing up here with retired Colonel Ronald Guerin, a NASA astronaut on the last space mission. I tell you what, Ron, what an honor it was to have you. You're certainly a pinnacle of my career in radio to talk to someone like you, especially someone that experienced what you experienced. And, I do a lot of interviews, and I try to ask the most in-depth questions, but sometimes I miss a few. Is there anything that we missed that you'd like for our listeners to know about you in NASA?
Well, I mean, one of the big things that I wanted to do with my mission was to use, this view of the Earth to inspire people to go out and make a difference and to make the world a better place. And it was, it's hard to describe what it looks like when you see our planet just out there hanging in the blackness of space. And, I really got the feeling, especially when I was out on my spacewalks, that, we're all kind of riding on this spacecraft called Earth through the universe together. And, you really get a feeling that, we're all in this together, we're all interconnected. And, it makes a lot of the problems that we face on the planet seem kind of trivial, and that we should be able to rise above that and to all work together. So that's something. I have a website called FragileOasis.org that we put together with NASA to try and share this experience. It's hard not to be inspired by that, and I have an obligation and a responsibility, I think, to share that experience with as many people as I can, and hopefully they would be inspired to make a difference.
Well, hey, Ron, I have one last thing. We'll let you go. I know you're on Twitter. Is there any way I can get a follow from an astronaut on Twitter?
Oh, you betcha. Is this Gary or Tom?
This is Gary, and I am Gary Snyder Show on Twitter, and I followed you last night. If I could get a follow, that would be awesome.
All right, I'll look for that. Hey, I've lost 2,000 followers since I came back to Earth, so I guess... It's not as popular when you're not tweeting from space. When you're tweeting from Houston, I guess it's not as exciting. But you may not want me to follow you. I don't know if you want to be associated with somebody who loses 2,000 followers in a few weeks. But I certainly, you betcha, guys.
All right, thank you very much.
When you want no holds barred talk, you want the Gary Snyder Show, weekdays from 3 to 6 here on WBAT Marion.
Joe Town Town in the night, 9:30 on a Tuesday, just to check out the late night record shop. Call it imposing, call it composing, call it insane. But when I'm through that, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instincts, a matter of conditioning, and a matter of fight. You can go where Pavlov's dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate.
We're back on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. We're going to close this week out the way we started it. On Monday, we had a chance to interview Jack Abramoff. If you do not know who Jack Abramoff is, you will after this interview. Before we get to that, though, I need to tell you about Barry Bunker Chevrolet. They are your hometown Chevy and used car dealer. Whether you're looking for that new Chevy or that perfect used vehicle, Barry Bunker Chevrolet has the car or truck you're looking for at the price no one will beat. And when I say no one, what do I really mean? Exactly, no one. With their amazing inventory and deals to move that inventory, Barry Bunker Chevrolet is your one stop for Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area for that new Chevy or used vehicle. Now let's talk service. Keeping your GM vehicle running at its best shouldn't be complicated, and there shouldn't be any guesswork involved. Let Barry Bunker Chevrolet's certified service technicians make maintenance simple for you. They are the one-stop shop for all of your maintenance and service needs. Here's what you need to do. Call 866-466-1956. Ask for Barry. You know, he's always there. Visit BarryBunker.com. Or head on over to the dealership at 1307 North Wabash Avenue in Marion and experience the Barry Bunker Chevrolet difference. Now, I should not have to say this because you all know it, but here it goes anyway. The name that is on the door is always on the showroom floor, Barry Bunker Chevrolet. All right, now, I had a chance to speak with Jack Abramoff, fresh off his visit to 60 Minutes on Monday. Very interesting interview, a very in-depth look at how lobbyists work, how they cheat the system, and how your vote is easily bought by the nearest lobbyist. Here's my interview with Jack Abramoff. He is a former lobbyist and the author of the new book, Capital Punishment. Jack Abramoff, welcome to the Gary Snyder Show.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing a lot better than I used to be doing when I was in prison, so I'm doing fine.
I guess every day after that is good, huh?
Very much so, yes.
Well, let's get started with the interview because, you know, you were one of the power players. You were the lobbyist in Washington, and it's always been my contention that if you want to know why a politician is doing something, just look where he's getting his money. Tell me how I'm wrong or if I am.
You're not wrong at all. That's exactly right. How he's getting his money and, frankly, how he's getting all sorts of other things that you can't even see what he's getting. And that's exactly what's unfortunately leading too many of our congressmen and their staff along the way.
Now, America seems to hate lobbyists these days. They're always, they're probably right up there with lawyers, if not worse. Should they be hating lobbyists?
Well, I mean, some lobbyists are bad, and, you know, the way, unfortunately, I was is in that category. And some are good. Some do good things. We have, in the Constitution, our right to petition our government, and lobbying should be a good thing. The problem is that the system is, unfortunately, set up in a way that leads to bad outcomes, and that's not to mitigate in any way when bad behavior takes place, such as what happened with me, but the problem in Washington isn't necessarily those things that are illegal, like some of the things I went to prison for, but the things that are legal that take place and that are outrageous.
Give us some examples of some of the things that are legal that take place that are, like you just said, outrageous.
Well, I'll give you an example. I can't take a congressman to lunch for $25 and buy him a steak and sit down and have lunch with him and talk to him about something. But I can declare that same lunch a fundraiser and not only buy him that steak and give, you know, for $25, but I can give them checks for $25,000 in addition to that stake and have that same discussion. And you, how much more influence do you think I'm going to have in that discussion? That's okay by the law.
Now, your book, Capital Punishment, just came out here in the last week or so. You've been all over the news with it. Why this book? Why now?
Well, I wanted to do two things with the book. First of all, I wanted to educate people about what really goes on in Washington, what lobbyists are really up to, what are the tricks of the trade that are used, what are some of them that I used, and what are the things that anger Americans, and rightfully so, and frustrate them. What exactly is happening behind those closed doors? And so for probably the first time, a lobbyist who attained the position that I did is speaking and breaking, as it were, the Omerta code of lobbying and letting people know in the hope that they'll get angry enough and then eventually move to what else I do in the book, which is give some prescriptions. What are the kind of things that would actually shut down this corruption in Washington? And so that's number one. Number two, what I wanted to do with this book is, you know, when my situation broke and the media went to town on me, there were probably 10,000 articles written about me, and I guess about a third of what they said was accurate, a third probably was exaggerated, and a third just never happened. But what happened was I was kind of created into a cartoon monster and an evil being like Satan on wheels. And what I wanted to do is show people, look, I'm a human being. I have a family and I have a background. Here's how I grew up. Maybe here's how I got off that path. And here's who I am. And I sort of wanted to get that out there, too.
Now, you pled guilty to three counts of fraud when you went to prison almost 4 years ago. What exactly were you convicted of? So our listeners, I guess, know that as we speak.
Sure. I pled guilty to, number one, not telling my clients that I was receiving fees from the companies that I recommended that they hire and that I worked with to perform grassroots activities on their behalf, trying to stop threats to their market share. I didn't inform them appropriately that I was receiving money for that activity, like the money I received from my law firm activities, and that was called honest services fraud. I pled additionally to having my clients, both those clients that I charged, and there were plenty of folks, by the way, Gary, that I did work for free, pro bono. Some of them wanted to make some payment of some kind, and often I would direct them to give money to charities instead, and charities that I supported. But by doing that, I broke the tax laws because that's evasion of taxation, and I pled guilty to tax fraud for that. And then finally, with relation to my activities on the Hill and with members of Congress and their staff and public officials, providing a stream of goods and services, things like tickets to sporting events and golf and travel and meals, in a way to build relationships with them inappropriately, to give me access and the people who work for me access so that we could lobby them. And I pled guilty to that as well.
Now, I saw your 60 Minutes interview, and I was just amazed at the amount of money that you spent on some of these congressmen and senators. Just kind of go over that and I guess explain some of the perks that you would give these congressmen and senators basically for access or, you know, as a lot of people would think, buying their vote.
Yeah, no, it was outrageous. I basically bought, every year I spent over $1 million, upwards of $1.5 million, just on sports and concert tickets to all the venues in D.C. so that basically any congressman or staff who ever wanted to go to any event of any kind in this region would come to us, and we'd get them tickets, and usually folks from our office would go along, and they'd have sometimes 3, sometimes 2 hours of access to be able to discuss the various activities and things that we were lobbying on. So that was one. Two, I had a restaurant. I actually had two restaurants that I owned, and a number of congressional staff and members had it like their own personal cafeteria. Yeah, and they got to eat there for free, and nobody charged them, and that was wrong as well. Additionally, I would take every year a trip of members and staff to Scotland to go play golf at St. Andrews and other places. So I basically lavished these guys, as did my staff, with as much as we could to gain as much face time and access that we could so that we could convince them to support our causes and our clients.
Now, while you were in Washington, you were considered one of the top lobbyists. You were also considered I'll say a lethal opponent, Team Abramoff, as you were known, and you rarely lost in Congress. Why was that?
Well, in addition to having the best access for the things I just told you about, I raised more money than any other lobbyist politically for members of Congress. There was almost no member of Congress that either I, and I only raised money personally for Republicans, but I had Democrats who worked for me. And at the end of the day, I guess you could say probably 60% of the money we raised was Republicans and 40% for Democrats. So I raised more money than anyone, I had better access than anyone, but more than that, because it doesn't get you there. What we would do is we would strategize, and I knew the legislative process, as did my team, as well as anyone, and we had some of the best strategies and countermeasures that we could come up with, and frankly, we worked a lot harder than our competition. What you find in the lobbying world are people who used to work on Capitol Hill, and they come out, and they get a lot more money, and they kind of get cozy and cushy, and they get lazy, whereas our guys worked virtually round the clock, continually. I write in the book about the amount of emails that we used email as our primary communication. Gosh, I sent 850,000 emails, Gary, during this period. Unfortunately, I basically provided a roadmap to our perfidy for everyone. What happened was that our guys worked harder. We were smarter, worked smarter. We had better access, and so we were able to win virtually every fight we were in.
Now, in one of your previous interviews, I'm paraphrasing here, but you talked about having access to like 100 congressmen and senators, and you considered that almost a failure because there were another 365 that you had not gotten to yet.
Right. I said in my previous incarnation as a lobbyist, I would have considered that a failure because that's right. There were 335 extra that we didn't influence at that level. And that unfortunately was sort of the way I played the game. I was an aggressive killer. You know, we went out there to win, and whatever it took to win, we did. But unfortunately, it also meant we crossed the line, and we paid for it severely.
Now, at the pinnacle of your career, you were basically considered one of the most powerful men in Washington, and then at the same time, it all came crashing down. What was it like when you saw your, I guess, political empire, if you will, come crashing down around you?
Well, you know, at first I was in denial. I thought that, you know, gosh, I'll get through this. And there were a couple levels of that, you know, thinking, all right, you know, I'll just have to hold on. Nothing lasts more than a week or two in this town anyway. And then it kept going and getting worse and worse. And then when my law firm let me go, kind of a stunning blow to me. I thought that they were going to step up to defend me, but instead they fired me. And that kind of hit me right in the stomach. And at that point, I was in a free fall. And, you know, gosh, it was almost a nonstop descent into the abyss. I couldn't grab a hold of anything, you know, on the side to stop the fall, and I couldn't land. And finally, I did land, by the way. I landed in prison. And when I arrived, it was the big final thud on the ground.
Well, let's move into that a little bit then. What was prison like, and is that just as dysfunctional as the rest of government?
Well, it's probably emblematic of the dysfunction of government. It's obviously a more difficult circumstance where you have a lot of men packed into a smaller area than they belong, with a lot of tension, and people who are, for the most part, 90% of the folks in federal prisons are you know, drug dealers and not white-collar guys or anything like that. So it's culturally very difficult for folks, you know, who come in from a white-collar world. And but the health care in the prison was reminiscent to me of probably what Obamacare would be. Basically, if you got sick, you had to fill out a form, and you'd be able to maybe see a physician's assistant a few days later. And if I remember a number of incidents where people who would play sports at the prison, especially the white-collar guys, would wind up getting hurt. And one of the guys slid into second base. They were playing baseball. And this prison was built over a former plate glass factory. So there were shards of glass all over the place. And this poor guy slid into the base and cut up his knee, and he was gushing blood all over the place. And they brought him up to the front. And the guard said, "You're bleeding on my floor. Go stand on the grass," which he did. And he stood there for an hour or so until he finally came out, and they brought him a Band-Aid. And that was it. So it's it reminded me when I started hearing about the Obamacare and socialized medicine. I figured, well, I got a head start.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Next question I have for you is, how come there were no Democrats indicted in this whole scandal, and only one congressman ended up going to prison over it?
Well, you know, I can't say why the Justice Department did or didn't indict people. I do know that they were very careful and thorough in their investigations. You know, I didn't have the evidence they had. I know that they're impeded in a lot of their investigations of the Congress by various rules that the Congress makes, and including the speech and debate clause, which is that which basically prevents them from getting anything that's on the Hill. You know, if you remember famous Congressman William Jefferson, who had $90,000 in cash in his freezer at home, and he, of course, was arrested and convicted. But if Congressman Jefferson had that cash in a freezer in his office, they wouldn't have been able to do a thing to him. So I don't know what all the particulars were of all the investigations. I wasn't enmeshed in it like that. But I imagine the Justice Department went through and figured out they didn't have sufficient evidence to really come after more people than they did.
Well, through all this, you also had a family, a wife, and I believe five kids. How did they deal with this whole mess that you got yourself into?
Well, it was horrible for all of us. You know, my kids were young teenagers when this happened, and there couldn't be a worse age than to lose your father either before prison or during prison than this age. And so my wife, who I married above myself, Gary, I have to tell you, not only was she...
You and me both.
Not only was she a loyal and wonderful and faithful wife, but she bucked me up at my low points and bucked up the kids and kept us together and kept us moving together, and, you know, went out and got a job because we, you know, became impecunious, you know, without any money, and I couldn't earn anything. I was earning 12 cents an hour in prison, and so she got a job and works double shifts every day and has since this started. And is just an amazing person that's kept us all moving together. But obviously something like this happening for kids and for a wife and for me, I lost my mother. She lost her mother during this process, really painful. And my father, who has been lived through this, it's just, there's no way to describe it. It's just horrific.
So what is Jack Abramoff up to today besides writing a book?
Well, I'm trying to get out there and speak about what I know, and try to provide people with some background about what goes on in Washington and what goes on and what they should be focused on and what they should do about it. I come up with, in the book, I go through a bunch of prescriptions, what people could push Congress to do if they get into it, and the kind of things that I hope would help fix some of this. And so I'm kind of focused on that right now. It's hard for me to have long-term plans right now. I'm just trying to take every day as it is. As we said at the beginning, every day is better than a day in prison. So I'm just trying to appreciate the little things in life that I lost, and I'm trying to get them back, and just do good and try to be good and try to make some recompense for what I was.
Now, if you're just joining us here on the Gary Snyder Show, we're speaking with Jack Abramoff and his book, Capital Punishment. Is there anything that you wanted to cover about your book that maybe, you know, I didn't have the foresight to ask you?
No, it you know, the book is a bit of a wild adventure like my life was. I take people through the fun times, the funny times, the outrageous times, the horrific times. I show them the inner belly of the beast in Washington. I take them and show them things that they ought to be real scared about what's happening in this country, and I try to show them a few ideas for how to move through it. So I'm hoping that people buy the book. I have a website, abramoff.com, where they can go and communicate with me even through it and buy the book, or they can go to Amazon, of course, amazon.com, and get the book. And I hope people will read it, and I hope that maybe we'll be able to do something about that which I was involved in and I was leading, and that which is helping to undo our republic.
Well, Jack Abramoff, it's been a pleasure, and good luck with your book, and maybe we can get you back on again sometime.
Love to. Thanks so much.
Jim Brunner with another update on the Sheriff's Chaplaincy Gifts for Kids program. We're joined this hour by the actual chaplain here in the Grant County area, Daryl Smith. And Daryl, always good seeing your smiling face. And tell us how we got this thing started a couple years ago.
Well, Jim, it's just a great opportunity. Sheriff Heimlich and the Sheriff's Department is allowing us to make a difference in the lives of children. And we saw that we had inmates that needed to share their love and support for children. And so we decided to put together a Sheriff's Chaplaincy Gifts for Kids program, and it's just been marvelous how the community has supported to try to make a difference in the lives of these young people, and to see the smiles on their faces and see how much they appreciate the sheriff and the department. It's just wonderful to see.
Collecting Friday and Saturday, mainly on the north side of town?
5 points down around Walmart, mm-hmm. and we'll be downtown probably east and west on 18, and then over at Gas City, so several spots around.
And any change is certainly what you need.
Jim, it's amazing, the change here and the change there. It all adds up over 2 days, and it's incredible what we can do to make the difference in the lives of these kids.
When you see the folks out collecting this week, be sure you know it's the Sheriff's Chaplaincy Gifts for Kids program. We're going to be collecting Friday and Saturday throughout the Grant County area. Be sure and help us out. We can certainly take any gift, be it big or be it small. It's certainly going to go to the children right here in the Grant County area.
The Sheriff's Gifts for Kids Drive is brought to you by Miller's Merry Manor, Abbey Carpet, Fortress Federal Credit Union, Marion General Hospital, Needham Story Wapner Funeral Homes, Ray Harris Chrysler Jeep RV, Rolling Meadows Health and Rehab, the Charles Street Community Federal Credit Union, and Dr. Bruner, Dr. Root, and Dr. Sneed. Please give this weekend.
Greetings. This is Mark Draves, the president and CEO of Carey Services. Throughout my 40-year professional career, I've been a fair share giver to the United Way. Each year, the employees of Carey Services rank in the top 5 total employee givers to the United Way across all Grant County employee groups. Why? Because we believe the United Way is the gold standard of charitable organizations. There is no more effective way to help our friends, neighbors, and family in their time of need than through the United Way. Let's all continue to live united.
Behind every future Indiana doctor, astronaut, and engineer is an inspiring teacher. The Woodrow Wilson Indiana Teaching Fellowship offers $30,000 for you to complete a master's degree and teach in a high-need urban or rural school. Indiana students need you. Change your world by changing theirs. Teach. Learn more online at woodrowindiana.org. woodrowindiana.org.
What matters to you matters to us. The right car or great truck with service you trust. You're treated like family in our hometown, where people come for deals from miles around.
Barry Bunker Chevrolet would like to invite you to look at the huge selection on all new and gently used vehicles on the lot. Barry Bunker Chevrolet is the home of the best service, the best selection, and you know what you're getting on the day you sign. Barry Bunker and his staff are proud to be a part of Marion, located on Wabash Avenue or southbound on Highway 15. Call 664-1275 or log on to the web at www.barrybunker.com. You can see for yourself. You will see Barry Bunker's team is ready to help you find your next vehicle. Remember Barry Bunker Chevrolet, because Chevy runs deep.
The man whose name is on the door is always on the showroom floor. Barry Bunker Chevrolet.
Timeless. Classic. Legendary. All words that apply to the Letterman coming to Warsaw. The Letterman coming to the Wagon Wheel Theater in Warsaw this Saturday night for one show only at 7 p.m. Get your tickets from the Wagon Wheel Theater, where you're never more than 10 rows from center stage. Tickets on sale for the single performance starting at $28.
brought to you by Shout Promotions.
Pancreatic cancer takes 36,000 lives a year, and that number is expected to more than double in the next 20 years. So chances are, if you currently don't know someone affected by this devastating disease, you will. But you can help reverse the trend. Similar to breast cancer and testicular cancer, heightened awareness, support, and funding can lead to a cure. Join the Mattress Firm Foundation in the fight to cure pancreatic cancer. Visit mattressfirm.com/charity to learn more and donate.
Hello, this is Gunner from the Ice House. Recently, as you know, my father, Steve Rosalie, better known as the Iceman, passed away, leaving a big hole in our community. Some of our good friends spoke with Connie and myself about a scholarship fund in my dad's name at the Community Foundation. And since Dad touched so many lives of the people in the community of Marion, Connie and I can think of no better way to honor him than to create a fund that will carry on his tradition of giving back. If you'd like to participate, please make your donations out to the Community Foundation with Rosalie in the memo line. We want to thank you in advance for your participation, and as my dad would always say, thank you, friends.
Bringing local news to Marion, Fowlerton, and all of Grant County, we are 1400 WBAT.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Ed Thurman with WBAT News. A Marion man is dead after he was struck by a car along East 38th Street late Wednesday night. Police say it appears that 55-year-old David Adkins was squatting in the street when he was struck by a vehicle. Adkins was taken to Marion General Hospital, where he died about an hour later. Friends say Adkins had been drinking before the accident. Investigators say his blood alcohol content was 0.16, twice the legal limit. He was also being treated at the Marion VA for alcoholism prior to his death. The driver of the car that struck Adkins has not been charged. The city of Kokomo was awarded the Community of the Year Award Thursday night by the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight says the award is a confirmation of a lot of hard work from a lot of different people and organizations.
There are so many people in the community that really rolled up their sleeves when times were tough and did everything they could, went and didn't run from the problem, but took it on head on.
Goodnight says Kokomo was able to bounce back by changing the way local government was run and working with local businesses to help them grow. Goodnight says he's looking forward to focusing on the city's assets and education for the community to keep the growth going. Officials inside the Grant County Courthouse have one big question on their minds. Where's the water coming from? Officials say water has been leaking inside the walls of the courthouse and is causing paint to bubble in some judges' chambers and the prosecutor's office, among other areas. Bowman Construction, which handled the construction of the courthouse and the recent renovation project, is investigating. So far, they haven't pinpointed where the leaking water is coming from. No offices have had to be moved because of the leak. The work goes on at the courthouse as usual, but the search for the leak also goes on. I'm Ed Thurman. The 1400 WBAT forecast, mostly clear, breezy, and cold tonight, low 33. Saturday, partly cloudy, windy, and cool, a high of 55. Saturday night, becoming cloudy and windy with a chance of showers, a low of 47. Then on Sunday, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers, Sunday's high 57. We're your connection for news, sports, and information. 1400 WBAT.
This is Don Rumsfeld, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Don't worry with all my belongings, no. But pay attention to the list. Make sure my daughter knows I loved her. Make sure her mother knows the same. Always remember there is nothing worth sharing like the love that let us share our name.
We're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Hope you enjoyed the replay of my interview with Jack Abramoff. Just unbelievable what he did to get to where he went. Unbelievable. All right. Now we are joined, as always at this time, co-host of the show from 4:30 to 6, Tom Marquis. Tom, say hi.
Happy Friday. Happy TGIF.
Isn't it, though?
It is. It's always good on Friday, especially knowing that next week's going to be a very short week.
Turkey. That's all I have to say about that. Okay, Forrest Gump. All right. Also joining us, He writes the blog, GOP12, for thehill.com. Christian Hines, welcome to the Gary Snyder Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Good to talk with you.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. I want to get right to things here. You know, we have a new flavor of the month in the Republican GOP nomination process. That seems to be Newt Gingrich. You know, tell us about this wacky nomination process. And, yes, I said wacky because, you know, I guess compare it to whack-a-mole. You know, one sticks their head up, they get knocked right back down.
And the only one who's left standing is Romney. But no, you're totally right. It is like whack-a-mole. And, you know, the idea is that Gingrich is, he has a chance to have deeper staying power because he's been around for so much longer. You know, Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, those guys, they weren't political veterans. But Newt Gingrich is a veteran. He knows how to withstand blows. But there have been a lot of really tough things coming out today. There was discussion about his views on global warming. Then there's the stuff with Fannie and Freddie Mac. So he's going to go come under quite a bit of scrutiny in the next couple weeks.
Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Chris, it's Tom. So glad that you could join us today on a Friday before Thanksgiving. Now, if you could help us, our listeners, obviously I follow GOP politics quite thoroughly, and most everybody knows who Newt Gingrich is. But what's the process in which that the Republican Party will come up with their nomination? I mean, isn't it completely possible when they get to convention that the state caucuses or the state people selected to go to the convention are the one who actually select the nomination? Isn't that possible?
Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, isn't it possible that they'll go against the popular nationwide vote?
I doubt it. I doubt it. Now, there is some talk that this could be the longest primary season that we've ever seen in a Republican race, because now the delegates are awarded proportionately, whereas in previous cycles, you know, you win Indiana, you get all the delegates. And so that made it much easier for someone to sew up the nomination. This time, it's going to be like the Democrats were last time, where Hillary and Barack battled it out through April. But I don't think it's going to go that long, and I don't think too many people are talking about a broker convention or anything like that, but it could be a longer process this time.
Now, Christian, when we take a look at the process so far, we've had a lot of debates. We've had a lot of candidates that kind of pop up then get knocked back down, and you mentioned Newt Gingrich and global warming and, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but the one guy that seems to be immune to it all right now is Mitt Romney. Is it just because he's been vetted before, or is it because they're just waiting to knock everybody else down first?
You know, I have a theory about Mitt Romney, and that theory is that everyone knows he was a completely different bird ideologically before 2007. And so they sort of discount everything Romney said before 2007 and say, oh, yeah, he was a liberal back then. We know that. We're not going to judge him based on that. So in a weird way, and we already went through that process in the last primary where people scrutinized Romney's record so closely. So I think this time everyone knows about his health care program that's just like Barack Obama's. Everyone knows about his flip-flop on abortion. It's not new news, whereas the stuff with Gingrich, we didn't go through all of this in 2008. So in a way, it's fresher, and in a way, that's more damaging for Gingrich.
Now, here's my question, and I know that everybody knows that I'm a strong right conservative Republican, but at the same time, I think about Barack Obama, and I think about Carter. And I look at the contrast between the two of them. And no, not just because they both won Nobel Peace Prizes, but because of the fact of where our economy was where our nation was when Carter was president. And then along came a president that we all know and love very well, Ronald Reagan. My question is, I guess we're in the same boat that I see, and history has a tendency to repeat itself.
I think that's why America will like Gender, Newt and forgive him for a lot of his baggage. He's not been the most morally faithful person to his wife, and I understand that. But I think that America is ready, even though he's a career politician, and I know that's what Tea Party people hate to hear. But I think that we need to get back to conservatism and need to get back to the Reaganomics and the Reagan, the way Reagan ran the country is why I just think that Newt would be the better president at this point. Don't you agree with that?
Well, I don't know if I agree that Newt would be better president, but I do believe it. I think Gingrich's shot is he and whoever the Republican nominee is going to be needs to make this election a referendum on Barack Obama. If they can succeed doing that, I think the Republican nominee will win. Obama is going to turn this into one of the nastiest elections in history. That's because he's going to have over $1 billion to spend, and because he's not going to be able to run on the economy, he's not going to be able to run on foreign policy stuff, except for killing bin Laden, but that's not a platform. So he really doesn't have a whole lot to run on, which means he has to say, well, I'm not at least as bad or as crazy as the other guy. So I think that, you know, if Gingrich could keep it focused on the economy and real substantive issues, then I think people would be more willing to overlook that. But he's going to face a lot of fire from Obama on his personal failings.
Well, when you see the national polls, when the polls come out on who fares best against Obama, we put up the flavor of the week, Bachman, we've put up Perry, we've put up Kane, and they all fell miserably when it's a one-on-one race against President Barack Obama. The only one that doesn't fail seems to be Mitt Romney. Why do you think Republicans... and at least the party faithful, I'm going to say the party, the Tea Party people, are just so eager to jump from candidate to candidate, but not jump behind Mitt Romney. And I imagine they will as their last choice. But why do you see that momentum swing from candidate to candidate like this?
Well, I think it is. I think that the nomadic element of the Tea Party element, they do go from candidate to candidate because they're much more interested in ideological purity than they are, let's say, electability. And there are quite a few shows, polls that show that. Mitt Romney is making the calculation that he doesn't need to placate the Tea Partiers. He doesn't need to talk their language because once it comes to the general election, they're going to have to vote for him because they don't want Barack Obama to continue being president. That, to me, is a somewhat risky strategy because there's always the chance that if he gets too many Tea Partiers mad, there could be a third party developing. And I've talked with people in the Grand with Tea Party movements who say they're in talks with some fairly big political figures that there could be a third party, a serious third party run, if Romney does get the nomination. And so that completely flips the equation, and you think, wait, maybe Mitt Romney isn't the most electable if he inspires a third-party run, which would probably throw the election to Obama.
Now, you mentioned the different party, and obviously a lot of people think about the Tea Party as branching off into their own branch in their own party. And like you said, that would hurt, would help Obama and would hurt the GOP. Well, who do you think will hurt the GOP or help the GOP more both ways, I guess, the Wall Street movement or the Tea Parties? Which one of those movements and their followers will have the most influence on the next president of the United States?
That's a very interesting question, and I think that it's going to be the Tea Partiers. You know, the Tea Partiers, since the 2010 election and since control of the House changed hands, they've sort of quieted a little bit, but the Tea Party movement, I think, has more organization and has quite a bit more discipline than the Occupy Wall Streeters. And the Wall Streeters are certainly passionate right now, but it's a whole year until the general election. I don't think they're going to be able to sustain it. The Tea Party is, and there is still some, quite a bit of decentralization in the Tea Party, but there's also very sophisticated Tea Party organizations. And, you know, you're hearing from them that if Mitt Romney is the nominee, Well, we're still going to come out and support Senate candidates, support congressional candidates. They're going to be working very hard to switch control of the Senate to Republicans. I don't think Occupy Wall Street has anything nearly sophisticated as that.
Well, one thing that we've seen from the Tea Party, and I'll probably anger some of my Tea Party friends here for a second, is that while the Tea Party seems to be substantive when it comes to a Republican primary, especially the lower down the ticket you go, state reps, state senators, even congressmen to a certain extent, you know, when some of these Tea Party candidates get elected, or their nomination, they seem to fail in the general election, and you've seen that over and over. Is there a fear of that happening here, that maybe a Tea Party candidate, and again, they move all over the place because they've been behind four or five different presidential candidates now, is there a fear of that happening in the fall of next year?
Well, you know, I mean, it's true. If the Christine O'Donnell and Sharon Angle, that's